Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. It's a weekly program brought to you by the folks at Epiclesis, an ancient future faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the pastor of the church, also, well, at least usually the host of the program, although we're going to fiddle with that a little bit today. But before we get to that, though, let me just say we'd love to have you visit our website. It's epiclesis.org. That's EPICLESIS.org. Or best of all, we'd love to have you worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30. We meet at the corner of Winding Way and Pasadena in Sacramento. As I hinted at a minute ago, we normally bring you a wide variety of guests, and I'm the guy who interviews them. But today, in the studio with me is Dr. Rick Ashey. Hi, Rick, by the way.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm good. It's good to have you back here. And Rick is turning the tables on me again today. We did this in an earlier episode, and we liked it. We can try it again.
Yeah.
Where, Rick, you are the interviewer, and I, and it's a little uncomfortable, I got to say, I'm not used to this. I'm the interviewee. So the reins are yours, my friend.
Yeah, well, we're just trying to teach you some empathy here, right? All right, here we go. So this time around, I would like to talk to you about this thing called the lectionary. This is something that I did not know about until just a handful of years ago. And it was really funny because when I was a young youth pastor, I was sitting in my office and I was thinking...
Oh, I love this story. Yeah,
yeah, I was thinking, you know what I need to do for my students is I need to create like a structure of the scripture. We need to get through the Bible. And we need to do it in like 3 years because, you know, not all of them are going to be here for all 4 years. But if we can get through the entirety of the Bible in like 3 years, like start to finish, and if there was a way for us to also tie in each of those 3 years, like the big story of Jesus and how all of the scripture points to him. And then I went off to the Institute for Worship Studies, and literally in the first class, the professor sits down and starts explaining this, and I just blurted out, oh my gosh, what you're talking about right there, that lectionary thing, that exists? Are you serious? Like, I was completely geeking out, and everybody in the class is like, what is the deal with this guy?
You were fixing to reinvent the wheel, and it had already been invented.
Anyway, so that's what we want to talk about, because I don't think that a lot of people understand or even know, first off, what a lectionary is, because there's a lot of them. And specifically, the one that we connect ourselves to, the one that we order and organize our worship around. So this is what I want to do today. I want to talk about what is a lectionary, what is the lectionary that we use, and basically why. Why do we do this?
Well, let's start with a definition. Lection just means reading. So when you have the word lectionary, that just simply means a collection of readings. And so I guess maybe we ought to talk about it in terms of readings because people might not know the word lection or lectionary. Mm. But anyway, it's just a collection of readings. So the Revised Common Lectionary, which we can talk about more if you want to, is a collection of scripture readings that some folks put together that do a variety of things for us in the church.
Is it kind of like one of those read through the Bible in a year type things?
I think that's a great way to think about it.
Okay.
All through the years, people have been attracted to different reading plans, right? You remember the old 365 days through the Bible plan
right,
or whatever?
Right.
Or different denominations come up with reading plans, or maybe a Sunday school curriculum is designed so that you go through the whole Bible in 10 years or 5 years or whatever. But what we're talking about here in its most simplest form is a reading plan.
And that's basically what a lectionary is.
Yeah, that's what a lectionary is.
Okay. So what we're talking about here is a tool that we use to help us how?
Well, it's a wonderful way to order our steps and mark our time. Now, we spent another radio program talking about this, and I would encourage people to pop over to the Epiclesis website to look at that, where you were interviewing me about this thing called the Christian year. Mm-hmm. But in a similar way, the lectionary organizes our scripture readings.
Yeah, are those two things connected? Do they play off of each other? Are they the two halves of the same thing? How does that work?
Well, the Christian year is, for lack of a better word, a calendar schedule, and the lectionary, for lack of a better word, is a scripture schedule, and they do overlap so that when we are in the Christian year and it's, say, leading up to Christmas, then the lections or the readings for that particular Sunday or that particular time are going to have to do with the coming of Jesus, not mm-hmm. only in the long ago, but also the lectionary reminds us that Jesus is going to come again in the future. So yes, right. The readings do line up for the different times of the Christian year that we're in.
And it also keeps us accountable to the big story, that we don't just get lost. Like when I was in high school, I loved reading over and over and over and over Philippians. Mm-hmm. I don't really know why. I think it's fairly positive. There's a lot of great verses in there you can pick mm-hmm. out. Yes, you know, like, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. You know,
they're good refrigerator magnet verses.
Yes.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that if all I ever did for the rest of my life was read Philippians, I'm missing out on some stuff, aren't I?
You are, at least I think so. And one of the things that I hear from pastors who are not accustomed to using the lectionary, or they're in a particular denomination or tradition where they don't rely or use the lectionary, I often hear this: well, Chris, I'm not going to use some man-made schedule of scripture. I want to preach the whole counsel of God. And there are a couple of misunderstandings in there. One of them is you're going to use some sort of man-made structure for coming up with what scriptures you're going to use. They're going to either be off the top of your head, or say you created a series of sermons or mm-hmm. themes that you're going to do for several weeks. And the other misunderstanding there is, and it's the one where people say, well, I want to preach the whole counsel of God. Mm-hmm. The wonderful thing about the lectionary, and this may be, well, there are two or three wonderful things, but this may be the top one, is the lectionary keeps us actually from camping out in one place, and it helps us to look at the whole counsel of God.
And when you say place, that means literally, like physically, a book of the Bible or like a theological hobby horse of ours, right?
Yeah, pastors have pet areas mm-hmm. and special interests, and or they want to do a series. I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with that. But if you're not careful, you can camp out in, well, one person told me of a famous 27-week series on the first five books of, I don't know, John or something.
Oh, I've got you beat on that. Yeah. I served under a pastor who taught the Gospel of John, and it took him 4 years.
So one of the things about the lectionary is that it has been so very carefully crafted that it not only has to do with thematic things from week to week to week, so the different parts of the scripture, and there will always be an Old Testament reading, there will be a New Testament reading, there'll be a psalm, mm-hmm, there'll be mm-hmm. an epistle reading every single week. Well, they're arranged thematically, so mm-hmm. they have to do with one another, right? And they've been very carefully chosen for that particular purpose. But they also work through the whole Bible in 3 years. And maybe that's one of the best things about it. Because if you are using the lectionary and exposing your congregation to those lections, to those texts, then that means after 3 years, you will have been through every single major portion of the entire Bible.
And I remember one of the first times I started using the lectionary in my Sunday teaching, my first crisis of application, if you will, was when one of the Psalms got gritty, and I thought, I don't want to, this is heavy. I don't like this.
Let's not go there.
Yeah. And then I literally sat at my desk and I said, Rick, you have a choice to make. You can either teach God's word or you can teach what you want to teach. Mm. And it forced me to hold myself accountable, because the fact of the matter is there's some real life, gritty, difficult stuff.
Yeah.
This is real world, real people making real mistakes and also doing things well the way that God had prescribed. But it doesn't pull any punches. It's like, look, this is just the way it is, and we are here struggling and fighting and wrestling our way through it. And that's one of the things I love about the lectionary. It's going to take me to places where I have to get up in front of people and say, this is real.
All of that, what you just said, love what you just said. And it's going to help and guide and pull you toward texts that you might not have ever covered before just because they're not in your wheelhouse. I mean,
right.
How many pastors are going to preach out of Habakkuk?
Yes.
Well, one of the benefits of following the lectionary is that we're going to get to go on a tour of the Bible. And that's good for me as a pastor.
Yeah.
That helps me. Do I know the book of Amos like I ought to?
Mm.
Well, maybe not. And it'll help me go to some places that I might not have gone before.
And you know, practically too, I was part of a staff years ago where we would spend at least 50% of our staff meetings coming up with the next series, coming up with what are we going to teach? What are the themes we're going to look at? And having to go backwards over, okay, what have we done the last year or 2 years? And oh, we can't repeat that because we did that 9 months ago. And what I love about this is it takes the pressure off of me to have to come up with all this like creative stuff. Because I'm a creative person, but that unrelenting new material thing that I think a lot of pastors and leaders and Bible study people deal with, that is a weight off your shoulders. And instead of investing your creative juices into like coming up with the thing, now you get to invest in digging deeper into God's word.
There you go.
What's already there in front of you?
Yeah. Two things come to mind as you were talking. One of them is that there is something about having a structure that helps you to be spontaneous.
Unpack that.
The lectionary says, hey, here are some texts for you to think about this coming Sunday.
Hmm.
But then you have the luxury and the joy of using that framework to apply your own creativity and your own study and where you are in the life of the church just now. So that's one thing that comes to mind. Another thing that comes to mind, you mentioned him, but I'm thinking also of the Holy Spirit and the way the Holy Spirit is at work. When you think about using a lectionary or a schedule, as it were, a collection of readings, you might be tempted to think that, hey, there's no room for the Holy Spirit here, but that's not true at all. And the wonderful thing that I found about using the Revised Common Lectionary is that it never fails to amaze me how the Holy Spirit uses the collection of readings that just, quote, happen, unquote, to be there for a particular Sunday, that he will use that to speak to the life of the church.
That is interesting. And that's actually something that I've experienced. Because I always thought, oh, this lectionary thing's going to paint me into a corner and I'm going to have to do this thing over here. I think that's also just sort of the individualism or maybe your narcissism even of just like, well, I know better or something like that.
There's a wonderful example of that in Scripture, by the way.
Oh, tell me.
That would help us see how, though you won't find the word lectionary in the Bible, you will see it very plainly as a biblical principle. You want to see this story?
I do, because this is what I want to get to. I think that there are some people that are listening that are probably have their arms crossed thinking, okay, Chris, you've presented an interesting argument so far, but show me in the Bible. This is my foundation. If you can demonstrate it in the Bible to me, then I'll listen to you. So let's talk about the biblical component of why this lectionary thing makes sense. Where do we find these kinds of things, this lectionary idea in the Scripture?
Well, it's a story that many people will remember. After Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he goes back to his hometown, Nazareth, and he goes to the synagogue there. You know the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that the attendant hands him the scroll and he reads from the scroll, presumably that which was prescribed for the day. We get the idea from that particular scripture that the Jews at that time, at least at that particular synagogue, had a lectionary. There were readings prescribed for the day. We know that there would have been readings prescribed for the different feast days.
Mm-hmm.
But researchers tell us that Jews would have also had some sort of organized reading of Scripture, some sort of organized system for reading Scripture. Jesus comes to the synagogue that day and they hand him the scroll, the portion that is to be read for that day. And what do you know? It just, quote, happens, quote, to be a prophetic passage from Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, as you recall, rolls up the scroll, sets it aside and says, today, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing.
Hmm.
So there's a wonderful way how a prescribed reading for the day is used to speak to what the church, or in this case, the synagogue, needed to hear. Well, it may surprise folks to learn that Christians across the globe did not, at least until relatively recently, have a collection or schedule of scriptures that we could all hang on to. In fact, that was the case even in the Roman Catholic Church up to and even beyond Vatican II in the 1960s. The Roman Catholic Church finally got together and said, here is a collection of scriptures that we can all be on the same page with. And that came out after the 60s and I think was finally codified and put together in the 80s. During the 80s, Protestant churches, for lack of a better word, began to get together and say, I wonder if it would be interesting and useful for us to have a common lectionary as well. Hmm. This was done in the 1980s, and Rick, it wasn't until 1994 that the Revised Common Lectionary, as we know it now, came to be.
And so historically, the lectionary that we utilize is quote-unquote newer. The concept of prescribed readings or rhythmic scriptural readings throughout the year as they relate to things like you were talking about, like the feasts, and that then began a pattern moving forward, that every year they would gather together and they would tell and they would retell and they would remind and rehearse, and one generation would hand off their faith story to the next generation. Because I think if we just sort of hodgepodge and random your way through it, I guess chaos theory would suggest that eventually you get all the way around and you get it all put together. But if you want to create a culture of transmission of story, if you want to hand your faith off from one generation to the next, there needs to be, for lack of a better term, a systemized way to do that in order to ensure that you're not leaving things out. Is that fair?
Oh, it is. And I'm glad that you re-emphasize the fact that this notion of a lectionary or a collection or schedule of scripture readings reaches back to our ancient roots. Even before there were Christians, our Jewish forebears were reading in association with different feast days. And then when synagogue worship came around, they had their own systems. Then we read in the very early Christian church, there were all kinds of traditions scattered around the known Christian world of different emphases of scripture, different scheduling of scripture that would be done at different times of the year. But finally, the church gets together again relatively recently and says, here's an interesting thing to think about, that we would have these scriptures to read together as the body of Christ across the world. And again, as you just said, it is really handy to have a tool to help preach and teach the whole counsel of God.
Yeah, my two thoughts here are, one, it's kind of like Bible study fellowship in the sense that, you know, you could go to any Bible study fellowship gathering and week to week, they're all doing the exact same thing.
So across the world.
Across the world. So you could literally go on vacation somewhere and you could jump into one and you're not missing out. It's a similar idea, but it also collectively, the faith community is moving together. And I like that. I mean, there's a shared idea that these are the things we're embracing, the stories of the Bible, the scriptures of the Bible that we're digging into collectively and universally, you know, across the world. And a lot of times in preparation, as we, like we were talking about, as we move in the calendar towards our big times, like the Christmas season and the Easter season, that there's a focus, there's an energy, and we're all thinking in the same, ways.
How neat is that when you have a friend who might be in a different faith tradition, but they are also using the Revised Common Lectionary at their own church, and you guys are talking about the readings from this last Sunday and say, oh yeah, no, I really, really am. I thought that passage in John was amazing. And when you couple it with the reading from the Old Testament and then the Psalm, what do you think about that, Joe? And there's something to be said for the body of Christ, the church universal, of being quite literally on the same page of scripture week to week to week, and yet the Holy Spirit using it in a particular and unique way in your part of the body of Christ. I think it's really neat.
And I also think it's important for us to just briefly mention that it is a tool. It's a tool in the tool belt. It's meant to be a resource, not a like a hard and fast rule. You know, this is the only way you can do it. That's not what we're suggesting here, but what we're suggesting is, hey, we found something that works really well, holds us accountable, keeps us moving forward, keeps us in the whole counsel of the Lord, and doesn't allow us to drift out into these areas and get stuck. I just went whitewater rafting with my family, and it was the first time my kids had ever done that. And I had to teach them about eddies, and that when you would go around the corners, you know, in a river, there are these eddy currents that are like these little whirlpool things that if you're not careful, your boat gets stuck in those, and you just kind of, you know, you just keep going around and around in a little circle, right, and you right. don't move down the river. You're not making progress. And I think that's what the lectionary helps us do, is it just helps us keep collectively and individually moving forward in our faith. And what's really cool is that the three-year cycle of the whole council and the one-year cycle of the story of Jesus reinforces to us over and over and over again, and synthesizes and allows us to move from kind of that short-term memory into that longer-term memory. And when it becomes longer-term memory, then it becomes part of us, embodied. And then we're actually living it out, and we're experiencing it as a part of who we are and not just something external to us that we're prescribing ourselves to. But I don't know if this is fair to say, but we become, quote-unquote, the lectionary. We live it out.
Yeah. Well, that brings to mind a thought, and that is, there was a phrase associated with the ancient church, lex orandi, lex credendi est, which loosely translated is the rule of prayer or the rule of worship is the rule of belief. In other words, what we do in worship, how we pray, shapes what we believe. And if we get stuck in our churches in these eddies, as you were talking about, if we are staying in one particular place in Scripture and we're not gathering all the rich jewels and gems from all over Scripture, then we are at risk of impoverishing the church, and our beliefs may suffer because of it. So it occurs to me that one more benefit of the lectionary is that it keeps us grounded in what it is we believe, and it keeps us on course when we are living in a world that, well, there are a lot of other narratives out there that we could be following other than Scripture.
I just thought of another thing, too, that's actually something that we practice, that you send out an email early in the week ahead of the following Sunday saying, hey, here's a couple of announcements, and here are the Scriptures that we're going to be looking at this next Sunday. And so instead of showing up on Sunday morning and just be like, hey, I wonder what we're going to talk about, and having kind of a slow start and getting warmed up, you know, and getting going, we, like anybody who uses the lectionary as a tool, literally could spend the week in preparation for Sunday, so that when we get there, our minds have already been thinking and processing and wrestling with these texts, and now we're waiting to hear, what is God going to speak to me, to us, through the pastor or whoever's teaching? But then, like we do, the other cool thing is that we provide that opportunity where we follow that biblical principle of everyone bringing a word or a teaching or an encouragement or something to share. I think that's really powerful for us.
I do too.
So that you literally are preparing for Sunday, you're experiencing Sunday, and then you're exiting out of Sunday saying, okay, God, now where are you leading me based on all that you've revealed to me?
And having a schedule of Scripture like the Revised Common Lectionary makes all of that possible. Rick, this has been a wonderful conversation. I should probably close by saying that if folks want to see what this lectionary looks like, just Google Revised Common Lectionary, and the site that I use is from the Vanderbilt Divinity Library. They have it set up so that each week's readings are right there for you, and they also have some art and other things to contemplate that have to do with those particular themes, but that's a neat way for you to look yourself at the Revised Common Lectionary. And perhaps even if your church is not using the Revised Common Lectionary week to week to week, you might want to do so in your own worship. Rick, you're a wonderful interviewer. I didn't mind this at all. It was
good.
I appreciate you doing it.
I went easy on you this time.
Thanks for being here. And folks, thanks for you tuning in as well to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. Until next time, I want you to be thinking about this. Surely, the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the Evangelical Church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi folks, it's Pastor Chris with one more word before we sign off. The long season after Pentecost is the perfect time to experience worship at Epiclesis, or maybe jump into a small group. There's always something happening at Epiclesis, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. Think about joining us for worship this summer. You'll be warmly welcome. As always, find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's EPICLESIS.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.